real middle, Dave.
Hi, Ryan. How quickly do you want to build the board that the half is left? Is there a rush to do, or do you kind of want to take your time, or just does it depend on what candidate you're looking at?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, I obviously want to do it as quickly as we can. But, you know, we're going to get the best in America because it's Ohio State. So, you know, want to make sure we make the right decision and, you know, for a lot of reasons. But, you know, we're going to get the best coach in America to go coach that position. And that's what's great about Ohio State. So, you know, we're going to move quickly, but we want to be smart as well.
For clarity, a lot of fans have asked about the two-year agreement that Urban used to ask his coaches for. That was nothing that was in a contract, though. That was just a gentleman's agreement. That, there was nothing that was written into a contract, correct?
That's right.
Thank you.
Third row left, Dan.
Ryan, how important is it to have guys like Greg Madison and Matt Barnes, who have been a co-defense coordinator, have been in the defensive back rooms, to kind of help you through that transition when Jeff Halfley leaves?
Yeah, I mean, that's huge. Those guys have been around. Obviously, Larry Johnson's been around. You know, Greg and Matt and, you know, Al Washington, all those guys are, you know, huge for us. And so, I mean, it's been a group effort, and he's certainly going to miss Jeff and wish him nothing but the best of luck. He's going to do a great job at Boston College, but we got a great staff there. We're going to go find somebody else to fill it in, and we're going to be fine.
When you built your coaching staff, did you do that by design to have two co-defensive coordinators, to have two defensive backs coach, so if somebody did decide to leave, you're not starting from scratch?
That's exactly it. That's why you do it that way. You know, when you bring in one guy to run the whole thing and then all of a sudden he leaves, that's a problem. But, you know, the idea of this defense was something that I had a vision of, four down front with, you know, cover one, cover three, a lot of single high. And that's what Jeff fit perfectly. That's what Greg and Larry believed in. That's what Matt Barnes had done at Maryland. And what you know Al had done in his past, so it all fit, and so we're going to keep that going. That's the idea. We're not all of a sudden going to change. You know, Jeff came in to run this defense, and he did a great job. But we're just going to you know fill that in, and we're going to continue to do the same thing that we're doing on defense in the future.
Far left, Lori.
Coach, I know it's a business trip. Players always talk about bowl trips being business trips, but we've got Christmas coming up. You want this to be something that they can both celebrate today and remember tomorrow. How do you balance them focusing on the task at hand and getting the most enjoyment out of this as possible?
Yeah, we try to do the best we can to make it a trip that they can enjoy. It's a reward. But this one's a little different because we still have a lot on the line here. And, you know, so it goes back on the seniors, and we're going to talk about that today in our team meeting. And you know, we still have a lot of work to do here on campus before we get out there. But this is a little different. You know, their curfews are going to be a little earlier, and you know, we shouldn't really have to enforce those if we have the team that we want. And you know, while they have to enjoy it, and they will enjoy it, that doesn't mean that you know, we don't understand what's at stake. And I think our guys will do a great job of that.
Connections you rely on when you look to replace Halfley, like who are the guys whose opinions on defensive football that you respect enough that you're going to tap them and say, what do I need to replace this guy?
Oh, you always have a list. You always have people that you have ready because you know that you know, in this world, you go to a place like Ohio State and you do well, things like this are going to happen. And you can either go hire somebody that's going to be here for, you know, 7 or 8 years, or you can go hire the best in the country. And we're going to go hire the best in the country because that's what I look those guys in the eye and tell them, you know, I told the DBs last year at this time, I'm going to go get the best guy in the country. They didn't know who Jeff Halfley was. And now they love him, you know, and they're going to miss him. But I'm going to do the same thing again next year and go get the best there is. And, you know, you call around to different people that, you know, you respect, but usually the people that you bring in are people that you know really well and you trust.
Second row left, Bill.
Ryan, we've asked you, I think, a couple times this year about sort of how analytics factor into the way you guys game plan and your philosophy. I'm wondering along those lines, how much you look at scoring at the very end of the first half and the very beginning of the second half, because it seems like you guys have been very good at that this year, and it seems like something that, you know, when people do pay attention to analytics, that's important to them and can swing games.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at it, that is a very important part of the game, that area right there. And, you know, if you win those areas, you typically give yourself a chance to win the game. But, you know, we don't get too pigeonholed on exactly, like, us trying to, like, game plan those times of the game. But certainly there's, you know, when you're talking to the guys, you know, you say, hey, listen, this is a big point of the game. We have to really be on point right here. And you just kind of talk about those things. And I think the more the guys play the game and this year and the more experience they have, they understand those critical times in the game where you have to be on your game. And like you're saying, those are important. But to say you game plan or do anything different in those moments, that's probably not accurate.
Have you felt like you have been fairly successful in those moments? Like maybe aside from the late touchdown Wisconsin scored, it seems like you guys were pretty good there.
Yeah, no, I think we have been pretty good in those areas. And, you know, it's important. You know, we look at some of the great teams. You know, you look at those the years under Belichick with Patriot. Those guys were unbelievable in those spots right there. And so, yeah, I mean, you try to do the best you can to get a feel for those games when it's right. You know, there's also been times where, you know, at the end of the first half, we've taken a knee just because we had to get ourselves under control. And I think it was the Penn State game. Remember, we were like midfield, and it was like, let's just get back into halftime. So some of it's a feel, too, you know, and it has to go along with the analytics as well.
Front row left, Mitch?
Ryan, I know you've been asked this several times throughout the season, but I wondered if you could reflect on it now. You've had a whirlwind month, really a whirlwind season for a guy your age in his first season, you know, coaching in a big-time program. And I know you have a ways to go, but have you been able – is there a time when you were, like, driving home or – laying in bed at night, you're going, oh my God, what just happened? It's have you been able to reflect on it like that?
No, I haven't even had time to think at all. I mean, this last week was the craziest week I've ever been a part of. And, you know, we have these mid-year guys coming in, and we had, you know, 4.5 days to get there. And then there's different award ceremonies and things all over the country. It was crazy. And then we only have 3 weeks to get ready for this game, really. And so then when you put recruiting into it, you have 2 weeks to play this game. So this was a week where every second mattered in recruiting. And I thought we did a good job getting out there and had to, you know, travel a lot and do a lot of stuff. But again, now it's back to focusing on Clemson and winning this game. And then again, once we get done with the season, we'll sit back and think. But there's no time for that right now.
But there must be moments when you think about yourself and what's just happened and how it's affected your family and everything.
Yeah, again, you know, try not to worry about that too much, because it's not going to help me right now. Obviously, proud of what we've done, proud of what the staff's done. You know, we'll get together Wednesday and you know, have signing day there and you know, enjoy a little time right there. And I think that'll be fun. But we still have a lot of work to do, because this game's on you right now. I mean, there's no time to sit back and think, where in the past there was another week where you could prepare for this game. And you know, I have not played in this game before, but talking to the other coaches who have, I mean, this game is a rushed more than it ever has been. And so, you know, again, it's all about how do we utilize these days and each day getting ready for this game.
We'll ask in a month.
Okay.
I tried to get Coach Devaney to form me today, and he was at no time. There, got
no time. Gotta go.
Marcus.
So Ohio State has 8 national championships and probably twice as many teams that came one win short. And a half of, maybe a handful of those teams were maybe one game away from not just being champions, but like a legendary team. And then they lost the game, they just kind of another team. I wonder if that's something that you incorporate into your message with these guys.
Yeah, it will be. We haven't talked about that part of it because we hadn't been to this point yet, and we didn't want to get ourselves or too far ahead of ourselves. But that is going to be part of the message, though, that if you want to be known as one of the best of all time and be up there with the national champs, and you want to be in rare air, here we go. You know, this is the push right here. And so, yeah, that will be part of the message. Not that that really matters with our day-to-day operation. We're not going to be trying any harder or anything else like that, but we just got to do a great job of focusing, you know, day in and day out and maximizing each day the best we can. So we're better prepared on the 28th.
Second row middle, Bruce.
Is Al Washington under contract? If he is, will you allow him to go to BC for a defensive coordinator position if he wants to?
I mean, if that's something that he would want to do, I'd be very, very surprised and be shocked, to be honest with you. But if that's what he wanted to do, then, you know, I would support him. But I don't see that happening at all.
You were at the Heisman, Hurts, Burrow, Fields, all transfer QBs. We've chatted before about this new world you're in, but man, I mean, that's like confirmation of the new world. But how do you keep a 4 or 5-star happy when they can look and they see 3 or 4 guys there found a better situation?
I think it just goes to show you what you know, the temperature of you know, quarterback play is right now in college football. And I think especially when you look at our situation, you know, you had Dwayne, you had Joe, and now you have Justin. It's just amazing to think that those have been really the 3 quarterbacks that have been in that room over the last, you know, 2 to 3 years. It's just amazing. And I'm so happy that it worked out for Joe. You couldn't happen to a better person or a better family, and just awesome to see. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things I think you just have to deal with on a year-to-year basis and try to figure out the best way to, you know, manage your team. And it's not easy. You know, you like to have four quarterbacks. It's almost impossible not to have four quarterbacks on your roster that are on scholarship because they all want to play right now. And, you know, the great thing about coming to Ohio State is you know you're going to get developed at a high level. And, you know, the hard thing about that is, you know, as you develop these guys, they if they can't play at Ohio State, they feel like they can play somewhere else. And so then they go on and possibly try to play somewhere else. And so that's frustrating. But at the same time, like you said, that's kind of the way it is now. And we don't like that. We want guys to be here and stay here and be here throughout their whole careers. But at the same time, I'm also understanding of, you know, what people want to do. And so we'll just keep adjusting as time goes on.
Say about, is it about the player, about the way quarterbacks are developed now in high school? Is it about how college offenses are? In the case of Fields and Hurts, they show up, they didn't sit a year. I mean, Joe was at least at LSU for a year and played, but it's like instant it's instant results with Justin Fields and Jalen Hurts in totally new systems.
Well, I think when you look at Jalen and Joe, they're both grad grad transfers who had played. You know, first off, you know, Jalen had played in national championships and played a lot of football, so that doesn't surprise me at all. You know, Joe going down there and playing the way he did doesn't surprise me either. He's played a lot of football here and been around some really good quarterbacks and JT and learned the right way. And I think Justin's probably the anomaly where he came in and was a first-year starter and in short order got himself ready to play and played at you know at the highest level of college football and as a sophomore. So that's a tribute to what he's done.
Last thing, did you see where ESPN ranked Urban the 46th best college football coach of all time?
I didn't see that, no.
Well, you feel fortunate you got to work for the 46th best college
coach. Seems a little low. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
You mentioned the schedule already, how crazy last week was and everything. I mean, you had the award circuit recruiting. I think this week's also a little condensed. In the past, the time has been almost too much before a bowl game. This year, it's different. How do you manage it? How difficult is it to plan when it seems like there's not too much time?
Yeah, no, it's different, but it's the same for both teams. And that's it's like anything else, like dealing with rain or something like that on a game. This is the situation. Now we've got to deal with it and maximize it better than our opponent. That's what it comes down to. And to say it's easy, no, it's not easy. It's a lot. You talk about getting worn down and just running from day to day as hard as you can go, waking up early in the morning, going to bed late at night, and flights and everything else. And there's a lot that goes into it. But it is what it is, and that's why we have a great staff and we have a great team that we can handle it and good maturity on the team that we're going to go in and have a great week of practice this week. We're going to let them go home for a couple of days, catch their breath, and then meet out in Arizona.
The players that were traveling last week, like, do they have like a set things that you guys want them to try to do on the road to stay in shape?
Yeah, we try to make sure that we get a good lift, good run when they get there, and then also when they come back, and just make sure we're on top of that. But really, those guys, they need rest too. Coming off of a long season, so and they weren't that gone long enough that it made a big difference.
Over here to the right, Don.
Coach, as you look at Clemson, what jumps out on their defense, and how good are these guys?
Yeah, I think they're really good. I think they have a lot of skill, a lot of speed. Simmons is the guy inside that kind of makes everything go, and they do a great job of changing up looks. Three down, four down, a lot of pressure. Try to get you off schedule and. Historically, over the last decade or more, Brent Venables has been one of the best defense coordinators in the country, and they continue to be really good on defense. And there's a lot of good players, a lot of good talent over there. The back end's as good as we'll see. They have a lot of skill.
It's been a grind to get to this point, but now you're here. There's only four teams. What's the philosophy of the team? What do you say to these guys? Because one of these four is going to be a national champion.
Yeah, I think the first thing is you have to believe. You have to believe that you belong as national champs, and then you go from there. But our preparation doesn't need to change in terms of what we've done to this point. We don't need guys to do extraordinary things. We just need them to continue to do what they're doing. But I think the most important thing is, at any cost, whatever it takes to go win, you do. So everybody has to be willing to do whatever it takes. Selfishness can't be in the way at this point. I mean, it has to be. Everybody on board doing everything they can to win every play. And you talk about every yard mattering, every first down mattering, every series mattering. That's going to be the case here. And so all hands on deck. We've got to be really efficient, and then we have to believe we can win the whole thing.
front row rec. Tim?
Yeah, Rec, when you go against the Venables defense, can you pull your hair out almost trying to find tells, clues, et cetera, of what's coming? I mean, just sort of what's kind of the approach you have to take from as you're preparing for that kind of defense?
I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. You know, you got to do a great job with the scout teams. You got to do a great job and give them a clean plan. And then you just go about the business of continuing watching film, doing a great job with the scout team, giving the guys the blitz patterns, and then communicate them and practice them at a high level.
You know, you've been here almost to the day after 31-0. What has changed about your this offense now that's better suited to play a Clemson in this kind of setting? I mean, over these 3 years, what do you think you guys have really established?
You know, again, I wasn't here, and I wasn't in that game, and actually really didn't watch that game all that much. But I know that, you know, I'm proud of what we've done in terms of the last couple of years. We've kind of adapted both of the offenses to who we've had. You know, it's been JT, it's been Dwayne, and now it's Justin. And you know, I think that, you know, the offenses really fit who the quarterbacks are really well and their strengths. And I think, you know, for the most part, we've taken care of the football. We played with good tempo. We stay on schedule, try to be, you know, penalty-free, and then play well in the red zone. And as long as you can do those things right there and stay on schedule, you know, you're going to score points. And then when you compare that with the defense and complement that with the special teams, then you got a chance to win a game.
One last quickie. When you send these guys home for a couple of days on Wednesday, what will be your instructions to them? Obviously, you want them to enjoy time with their family, but they're not going to be home for Christmas. You know?
Right.
I mean, just what do you want them to think about?
Yeah, well, I think, again, you want to rest, and that's what it comes down to. The idea of sending them home is to be with their families to get away for a little while because, again, after a long, long season, you know, you need a little bit of a break, and they won't be home for Christmas. So I think it's the right thing to do, and they show up in Arizona energized. But as much as they're relaxing in the back of their mind, they know they got a job to do. And so when they arrive on Sunday, it's all hands on deck, and then we have all week to prepare.
Second row left, Ari.
Hey, Ryan, even as recently as last year, like, you were like Jeff Hafley, right? Like, you were a young, solid mind in that field, and people were excited about you, and you even had job offers to leave earlier than what happened here at Ohio State. I was wondering your personal experience being in the same exact position, and ironically enough, he's at a place that you once coached. How did that put you in a position to help not only understand the position he might be in, but guide him?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough this time of year especially, but Jeff's a pro, and he understands, you know, how to compartmentalize things, and he'll do a great job of that. But, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I thought Jeff handled it the right way. You know, we got through the Big Ten championship game, won the game, and then he kind of went about his business of going after that. It wasn't during the rivalry week. It wasn't during championship week where he was really spending a lot of time doing that. You know, I thought, his dedication to these players and his program for the opportunities he gave him, and I thought he handled that the right way. And he's going to a great place. Boston College is a great place. Obviously, I was there for 9 years and have my master's degree there with great people there. And so, you know, between Martin Jarman and Father Jack and Father Leahy, I mean, they'll do something good there. And, you know, he'll do a good job. But, you know, he's going to finish out the season with us, and you know, hopefully it's after the national championship. He's going to have to dual role a little bit, but you know, they have a guy on their staff who's doing the same thing, and it's kind of the way it goes.
When colleges make transitions, maybe not smaller colleges, but like places like Ohio State and even Florida State and some of the places that have had openings the last few years, there's this like idea that they should hire a person to make a big splash or a brand name or somebody who's exciting. And I'm wondering, based on just a playoff field, having four coaches that were all promoted within, and you being one of them, how important do you think that is to be a part of a program beforehand? How did that change the way that you found success here? Just the whole deal of just being promoted from within. Is that
That's a great question. You know, I think that's one of the reasons why we've had so much success here was that, you know, when Gene Smith decided to, you know, stay within the program and keep some continuity within the program and keep it the way it was, I thought that was a huge decision by him. And it was a little risky. Call it for what it is. I mean, first-time head coach at Ohio State, for him to take a chance with me here, you know, again, I can't never say enough of what he did in making that decision. But that had a huge part of this in keeping the continuity there and promoting from within. And when you look at some of the great organizations, not only in football, that's how they keep success going is doing that and not starting over from scratch. And so, yeah, I think that's great leadership and great AD, you know, making a decision to keep it within house. And then, you know, you look at what Lincoln's done, you look what Dabo's done. I mean, you look what, you know, Ed Orgeron's done. I mean, you look at those guys, they've done a great job within that. And that's, I think that has a big part of why it's been so successful.
You know, just one last quick one. But there was a world where you could have been at a place like BC last year, right? And I'm wondering, based on the experience that you've had right now and where you are, do you ever think about what it would have been like had you had to start somewhere new, somewhere fresh, maybe somewhere that didn't have all the built-in foundational things that Urban built here, but just like being the big hotshot name that got hired to go somewhere else, what that would have been like and how much more challenging maybe that would have been?
Yeah, I think every situation's different, and you just do the best you can to try to figure out what's right at the place you're at, you know, and every situation's different. And so Jeff's going to be going into a situation that's very different than the situation I walked into. And does it make it easier? Does it make it harder? It's just different. And you do the best you can to figure out what's right, and then you trust your gut and you go with it.
Front row left.
Any sense right now of where things are physically for Sean Wade, and how much has he had to kind of gut things out here these last couple weeks?
Yeah, no, he's been doing a good job, and you know, we're getting a lot of rest here. So as we get going in practice today and this week, we'll probably have a better idea where he's at.
And as far as when you have a guy who is so, with Halfley, so critically involved in recruiting, especially a position as important as defensive backs for this class, how awkward is that here for these few days? How do you guys sort of figure out how much he's still involved and how much you don't want him involved and that sort of thing?
No, it's not awkward. You know, these guys chose this school for, you know, for Ohio State and, you know, and for what we're doing on defense, and that the defense isn't going to change. And, you know, I've talked to the recruits about that, that, you know, it's my job to go find them the best in the country. And I felt like I did that last year. I'm going to do it again this year. We're not going to change the defense. The defense is a vision that I had from early on when this whole thing started. And, you know, Ohio State's been here a lot longer than Jeff Halfley, and it's going to continue to be great. And, you know, Coach Halfley was a big part of the reason they came here, but it wasn't the only reason. And so, you know, our guys have been strong in their response, and they're excited to sign on Wednesday.
Ryan, are these – you've talked about the value of these practices several times, but are they more like an off-day, bye-week practice – because you don't have a game this week, or is this a game week?
Yeah, this one's a game week. So we practice Friday, Saturday. That was more of, like you're saying, a bye week practice, and then we're into game week now.
With you talked about Justin on that Friday before the Big Ten title game, and obviously the toughness has shown, and he was limited in practice that week. Has that still been the case for him last week? How close do you think you can get him back to full mobility by next week?
Yeah, no, I think with this rest, he's going to be at 100%.
Second row right, Tony.
You've already talked quite a bit about the recruiting, and how much, I guess, reassurance have you had to talk to the defensive backs specifically? No names, obviously, but just reassuring them that things are going to be fine, and you'll have somebody.
Yeah, well, with the guys on our team. Yeah.
Roots, I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, yeah. Talk to those guys, you know, every day for the most part, and the response has been good. You know, it's been great, and certainly they're disappointed that they're not going to get coached by Jeff, but they're excited to sign. They've been great. It's been really positive. They understand, you know, this is an unbelievable program that's on the rise. We have a great defensive system, and there's great opportunity in the back end next year. You know, guys are going to be coming in with an opportunity to play, and so that's excited. So they're excited to be here, and they're excited to find out who's going to coach them, but they will in time. But I promised them I'm going to give them the best situation possible to make sure that they can reach all their dreams and goals. And that's the whole idea, is that they committed, you know, to me as the head coach and to Ohio State, and they understand that, and that's been the response.
Expect all five of them to then sign on this week?
I do.
And then lastly, are you expecting to sign two quarterbacks this year?
I don't know. Yeah, we're still working through that. But here's the deal. Right now, you know, we want to make sure that we have, you know, four quarterbacks in that room, at least three. And so that's something that's not easy to do. And so we're trying to figure that out. Like we said before with the quarterback situation, it's tough to make sure we have that. But we have to make sure that quarterback room is solidified moving forward.
Right in front, Joey.
Ryan, one of the reasons people say quarterbacks are able to play right away, freshman, sophomore, so early in their careers is quarterback training growing up. Justin, Trevor, they both had like private quarterback coaches in middle school, so did other quarterbacks. With Justin, did you find him be a big benefit from that? Did he come in polished? Just like, what's your
sense on how much that may have influenced him growing up?
Yeah, I don't quite know. I mean, I know that he was exposed to, you know, a high level of football just in terms of his understanding of, you know, situations of playing the game, of coverages, things like that. Pretty good coming in. Didn't know our offense and hadn't played. But he wasn't like raw coming in. You know, I thought they did a good job. I mean, again, the most exciting thing about Justin Fields is he still has a huge ceiling. And I can't wait to work with him again in the offseason and keep growing from here. But he certainly, in order to play the way he did this year, he had to come in with a certain level of foundation, and he did.
What beyond just the mental side, what about mechanical, like footwork, like things like that?
That's all stuff we're going to look at in the offseason.
With the recruiting, or with Brendan White, he went on the transfer portal last week. Obviously, if guys go in the portal, they're still allowed to come back, and because of you might lose a lot of guys in your secondary, is he leaving? Would you consider bringing him back? What's just the status with him?
I don't have an update on him right now.
Third or right, Rob?
So you're crisscrossing the country the last, whatever, 4 or 5 days, doing award shows and whatnot. How hard is it to remain in the moment? I assume you hear the clock ticking with right. This game coming. To be there for the guys and not be thinking ahead to the game. Or is that a challenge, A? And B, do you have, like, iPads and you're looking at things while you're on the road? Just talk about, I assume you don't just put it aside while you're, those two things.
Yeah, no, right after the game, after we got done with the selection show, Joe loaded up my iPad full of film. And, you know, when I was on the plane or in the hotel room, you know, we had time, was watching film and trying to get ahead, and so was the staff. But that's not easy to do when you're out there recruiting and you're just running from place to place and airport to airport, and like you said, award show to award show. But you just do the best you can with it. You know, you're not going to be perfect. It's not going to be perfect. You wish you had another week, but they don't either. So they're dealing with the same situation. So again, we just want to maximize it the best we can and handle it better than they do.
And the second last thing here is, they have two games on Chase now where he's been okay, but not like he was earlier in the season, at least to our eyes. What can you do differently with Chase and moving forward here into this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's all kinds of different things you can do, but at the end of the day, you know, if they really want to slide and chip and put, you know, three guys on them, then it's going to be hard, you know, and that's where the other guys have to step up. But again, anytime they decide to do something like that and put extra resources into stopping Chase, they're giving up something else. And so, you know, our defensive staff will be looking at that and try to figure out, you know, how we can get a schematic advantage.
Did teams try to do that early in the season and just didn't have the personnel, or is this sort of just the last two-game phenomenon, or are you surprised it didn't happen earlier?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of two things. I think they, you know, they had a year's worth of film, and I think that they did a good job scheming it. But then also, you know, those are good teams now. They're top 10 teams with good players. And so I think it's a combination of two of those things.
Over to the right, Clay.
You said it's game week. Is the game plan in on Clemson?
That's this week. So today is like a typical Tuesday practice for us. So, you know, Tuesday is first, second down. Wednesday is third down red zone. And then Thursday is kind of our polish. So we're into a Tuesday right now.
You were in the room when Joe Burrow made that speech. And as a result of what he said about Athens and Southeast Ohio, I'm seeing on Twitter he's raised like $60,000 at food pantries, et cetera. He took that thing to a whole new level, did he not?
Yeah.
Beyond the game.
Yeah.
In his response. You've talked about him ad nauseum, but
right.
It was damn impressive.
To be there and to experience that was one of those things, you know, I'll remember till I'm, you know, 80 years old. That was a cool night and moment as I've ever been around, because if you know Joe, you know, although he thought that out, that was just him being himself. And for him to go through what he's been through, play the way he's played, see the emotion of what this has meant to him and his family, unbelievable. You talk about class, there's not a classier guy out there. And it was just, I was just, you know, humbled to be in the room and just to be a part of his journey.
Last two reporters' questions, front row right, Bill.
Yes, is Corey Dennis going to Colorado State? Can you make that official or confirm it?
I don't know. I don't know if they have or not yet, so I don't want to blow him up, but we'll I know he has a chance.
Al Washington's name was brought up. Do you foresee any other coaches leaving? Is that do you think the staff is going to be intact other than obviously Jeff?
No, I'd be surprised if any of that stuff happens. Yeah, I mean, I think we're in pretty good shape, pretty solid, and I've not heard of anything otherwise.
And in terms of the recruiting class on Wednesday, it's considered top five. How good do you feel about that? How much uncertainty is there going into Wednesday?
No, I feel great about the class. And I know, you know, you can get in the top five, top three. You know, you start to, you know, you figure out who likes a guy, who doesn't like a guy. And we know sometimes those are really accurate. Sometimes they're not accurate. But I know this. We're going to sign a really good class this year and really excited about it. Good, really good people, really good prospects.
And final questions, front row left. Doug?
Ryan, you'd obviously worked with Mark Pantoni as an assistant here in recruiting, but can you describe sort of how you guys, how your relationship has worked this year, him understanding your vision of how you want to go about recruiting, and, you know, he worked for Urban almost his whole life, and now he's working for you. How have you guys worked together to shape this class?
Yeah, well, I think I just have a tremendous amount of trust in what Mark's opinion is, the way he works. You know, I kind of let him run the personnel department is the best way to put it. And that's recruiting. And there's a lot that goes into that. There's the, it's not just evaluating. That's a big part of it, but that's only some of it. It's everything else. It's the organization of recruiting trips. It's the organization of recruiting weekends. It's the organization of the staff where we put people, the recruiting, everything. He does it all and, organizes the numbers. And so, the amount of trust that I have in him is off the charts, and what he's done this year and helped put together this class, you can't put a value on that.
And just thinking about the class you're pulling together now, when you arrived here in January of 2017, Ohio State was about to pull in a class that was number two in the country. That you see all the 2017 guys that are driving this team forward right now. Do you remember what you thought of, you know, when you got here and you saw, hey, man, you know, Chase Young's coming here, and then you get Jeff Okuda. Just, what did you think of that class? As that's what the first class was when you got here.
No, I mean, I know that, you know, when you're at Ohio State, you're going to get, you know, top recruiting classes, because, you know, you have kind of first pick, and yeah, you have to go recruit them, you have to evaluate them, you got to do a great job with them. But you know, I don't, at the time, just coming in, I never realized that they'd be this good of players. I mean, you talk about some of the great. I mean, J.K. and Jeff and Barron and Chase, I mean, great players, but better people, and the leadership that they brought is unbelievable. And so that staff did a great job bringing these guys in.
And last thing, you made it clear from the start with this defense. You said you wanted to make sure you had a four guy front, but it feels like today you're talking more about your overall defensive philosophy with cover one and cover three and the single high safety. It seems like more than we've heard you talk about it before. I don't know. Moments like this, when you are turning staff over for the first time, is this a moment where a coach does have to make clear, like, guys come and guys go, but this is what we are, this is what we do? It just feels like to me you're maybe making sure that everybody understands that today, what this Ohio State program, not just offense, but in totality, really is.
Absolutely, yeah, because that's what it comes down to. And I couldn't really have those conversations in the preseason or in the spring or anything, because I didn't really want anybody to know what we were doing. And so as time has gone on, now it's on film and people know what our identity is, and it's been great. But it's what you said. I mean, we've recruited defensive linemen at a high level, so we want those guys on the field. And then, you know, based on the experiences that I've had as an offensive coordinator and then, you know, calling plays, I think that gives us the biggest struggle is that kind of defense. And then you mix that in with the guys that we're recruiting and the guys that we have now, I think it's a great fit. Linebackers, safeties, corners, I think that you know, puts stress on the defense. And do I think it will evolve as time goes on? Sure. But that's the philosophy, and those are the conversations that I had with those guys when they came in. That's why, you know, Greg is here, and that's why Larry's here, and that's why Al's here. Those guys are all four-down guys. And then, you know, Jeff was a cover three guy coming from San Francisco in the Seattle Pete Carroll cover three. And that's what I want to do moving forward. And those are the reasons they're here. They didn't come in here to go run something they didn't have a background in. And that's why we targeted those guys. And we'll continue to do that.